Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya. Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So this is part two of our Hare Krishna. So this morning we were discussing Srila Prabhupada's first meeting with Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and we were seeing how Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, being unlimitedly kind upon the fallen conditioned souls in the age of Kali, sent his most expert and dear associate in the form of Srila Prabhupada to personally show us how we can very easily take up the process of Krishna consciousness. So by his own example, Srila Prabhupada, by the will of Lord Krishna, is playing out the role of a devotee becoming Krishna conscious. And we can see this morning's verse, of course, was describing that what more remains to be accomplished for the perfect devotee after achieving unflinching devotional service unto me, the supreme absolute truth, whose qualities are innumerable, and who am the embodiment of all ecstatic experience. So we see that, what to speak, here Srila Prabhupada is showing in his pastimes that even becoming a devotee is a stage of transcendental nectar. What to speak of if a devotee attains perfection. See? And we can see here Srila Prabhupada relishing again and again and again these wonderful pastimes that he experienced by the will of Krishna to demonstrate how even from the very beginning Krishna consciousness is this nectarian activity. What to speak of when one becomes a perfect devotee of the Lord and is actually personally associating with the Supreme Lord himself. So here in this second meeting, Srila Prabhupada is reminiscing, meditating, relishing with his disciples, discussing this second meeting with Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Now this took place in 1932, although there's a little difference here. In some biographies they've got 1932. Srila Prabhupada himself quite often says 33. There's two meetings in a very quick succession here. One where he meets Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur when they're doing a 168-mile circumambulation of Braja Mandala in Vrindavan. And then that was in the 28th of October. And then within about a month or so, Srila Prabhupada then at Allahabad took initiation. So some say 32, some say 1933, but around that time. So at this particular stage, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and his party of devotees, as they were going around and through Vrindavan Dham, they met opposition from many of the local temple managers. here. They are temple proprietors or Kaskara Swamis, and they objected very, very strongly to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur awarding initiation, Brahman initiation, to those who were not born in Brahmana families. We know even from Srila Prabhupada's statements that at some stage the opposition against Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was so vehement that they actually tried to bribe one police officer who was in charge, that, you know, we're going to kill this sadhu and we want you to turn a blind eye. So you know, strongly did they protest. And of course, as a good policeman, he said, I will take your money, but I'm not going to take part in, you know, killing a sadhu, you know, like that. So, but as they came to the seven main temples of Vrindavan, the temple proprietors, they shut their doors. They would not allow Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur or his followers to enter into the temple. And some, you know, he was heckled, and even some, you know, were throwing stones and abuse at Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and his party. I remember one time Srila Prabhupada was asked whether he would visit Jagannath Puri temple, and he said that if my disciples are not allowed in, then I will not go either. So, so this is the scene, and they you know, even the shopkeepers, they closed the doors and they wouldn't allow that party in there. So anyway, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was undeterred, and he was speaking for a few days there, and many people had heard of the great fame. You know, they understood Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was very famous throughout India, known as, you know, the most wonderful, very austere, very sincere, very honest and purified sadhu, very renounced, very knowledgeable. They understood this, and so many of them came to see, some came to see him anyway, different personalities, but when they saw that he was speaking usually on the Upanishads, and they were hoping that he would speak, you know, about Radha Krishna's intimate pastimes, most of them quickly went away, and they didn't want to hear. So anyway, it was announced that on the last night of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's stay, so he would be going the next day, that evening, I think it was about 5 or 6 p.m, he would be speaking on the he would be speaking some Krishna katha. And at the same time, they would be organizing a pilgrimage to one of the local temples, which was allowing them, I think it was the Sesha Sai temple. So many of the many people who were there, they actually went on to visit the temple. And just a handful of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's leading disciples stayed. And among them, of course, although Srila Prabhupada was actually considered, in one sense, a new boy, as he puts it. So how old was he here? This is he's about 36 years old at this stage. So he's considering himself to be a new boy. Although he was recognized to some degree, because you know, he was regularly donating where he could, significantly, to help establish different temples and a couple of different temples. So it's not as if he was unknown, but he was understood to be a new boy. But he was stayed there, and he listened. And as we will see, we'll discuss some of the points of this, but after this, when they within a short time, within about a month or so, they went to Allahabad, and Srila Prabhupada was awarded first and second initiation at that time. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta remarked that, yes, I will accept him as my disciple because he likes to hear and he does not go away. I have marked him. Yes. So, Srila Prabhupada, you know, this made a big impression on Srila Prabhupada's heart, of course, that, you know, his spiritual master, you know, he very much appreciated that Srila Prabhupada liked to hear. You know, he, Prabhupada says, he said, actually, and he mentioned that actually the first real impression that his godbrothers understood of him was from this statement of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. In fact, they were a little surprised because, you know, he was considered really just a non-entity type, you know. Just, you know, very, very new, and, you know, just grihastha business person, not you know, established devotee, or you know, just one of many people to come and go. That was their vision. But Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati pointed out, no, you know, I will accept him as my disciple. You know, he does not go away. He likes to hear. So then his disciples, that was really the Srila Bhakti Siddhanta was pointing out to them. And that was the first understanding that, oh, there was something significant, you know, about Srila Prabhupada. Otherwise, they had not really noticed to some degree. The Prabhupada said, that was my qualification. He said, this hearing is very, very important. Prabhupada said, because I was serious for hearing and therefore now I am serious about kirtan. Means speaking or preaching. So one who is serious about hearing, he can become a future nice preacher. The Prabhupada considered that this was his only real qualification for becoming a disciple of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakura. That was the one thing that was noted by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta. And therefore, you know, we see in Srila Prabhupada, when he came to the Western world, understanding how one can actually attract the attention of the Supreme Personality of Godhead just by hearing from his pure devotee. And Prabhupada said that, you know, he actually, much of what Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakura was speaking, he couldn't understand because he was speaking in a very high, you know, philosophical language. but he said that still, as we just sang one song by Srila Prabhupada, where he is reciting verses from the Srimad Bhagavatam, that from the second, first canto, second chapter, verses about 17 to 21, that if one serves the pure devotee of the Lord and at the same time hears the message of the Supreme Lord, then that in itself is such a pious activity and a pious engagement that it destroys the impiety within one's heart. It is because there's impiety in the heart that we cannot understand God and that we cannot take to religious processes. We'll have to ask that child to. Thank you. So the by hearing, what happens is that Krishna, especially if we hear from Krishna's pure devotee, not just any hearing. If we even hear Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita or the Krishna consciousness philosophy from someone who's not properly situated in Vaishnava behavior, it does not have the effect. But if we hear from the pure devotees of the Lord, Krishna becomes so pleased with that even we can't understand it, but Krishna acts within the heart to completely purify one of all the modes of material nature and to help one to understand the science of God from within one's heart. Prabhupada gives an analogy that it's like if someone is sleeping and you're calling out, you know, wake up, it's time to go to work, wake up, it's time to go to work. Now, that person who's sleeping, he can't actually understand the content of the sound. He can't understand they're saying, you know, even wake up. He can't understand that they're saying you have to go to work. He can't, not even sure who's calling out. But the sound is enough to wake him up. So, you know, by hearing from the right source, Krishna allows the spirit soul to awaken, even though he doesn't understand necessarily the content initially of the sound vibration. So this is Prabhupada mentions. Again, very significant this event, because somehow or another we can apply the same principle, because that's what Prabhupada did. In his song, when he arrived in Boston, he prayed to Krishna how these people, you know, the immersed people in the Western world, their very lives are just, you know, immersed in the modes of passion and ignorance. You know, their daily ritual is taking intoxication, having illicit sex, gambling, eating meat. This is all they know. They love it. They're supremely attached to these things. And somehow Srila Prabhupada is going to somehow or another, you know, get them to forego all of these things and chant Hare Krishna. So you can imagine the difficulty. But Srila Prabhupada understood that Jai Shishi Radha Balava, Shishi Jagana Balavam Sabhaja, Shishi Gurunatai, Shishi Gavaram Shida, Shadagam Shida, and Wakashida Kija. Srila Prabhupada understood if somehow or another they can hear from the devotees of the Lord and become attached to that hearing, everything else will follow. So we were discussing an example this morning how Srila Prabhupada, when he one time when he went to see Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and he first saw him sitting on a seat, because sometimes he, you know, in the few meetings he'd seen him sitting on the ground, so he sat on it, but this time he was sitting on the seat, and he went and he sat on the couch with him. And we were discussing that so, you know, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati never said anything and none of the disciples said anything, and Prabhupada gradually he sort of looked around and he saw that, you know, everyone else is sitting, you know, on the floor, and then he's sitting, so he understood that, oh, you know. So he just thought, you know, he's a nice, friendly gentleman, and I'll go and sit with him like this, you know. So, yeah, he understood he was a sadhu. You've got to understand Srila Prabhupada's background, of course, that, you know, he's had hundreds and hundreds of sadhus. His father used to invite them to his home. So since, you know, a young child, there's hundreds of sadhus coming, you know, so there's this sort of intimate, you know, sort of relationship with sadhus, you know, in one sense. because they'd been in his home, you know, his whole life like that. So here is, he's understood that he was a very nice sadhu. You'd come to sit with him just like you would in his home. But he understood, oh, you know, this is not proper. So, anyway, from the next day, he didn't, you know, then he sat on the ground like that. But he was saying that because he was attached to hearing Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta, then all the rules and regulations came later. It's not necessary that they're introduced at first. And we see this with Śrīla Prabhupāda when he spread the Krishna consciousness movement. And if someone was a little interested, he would just speak to, he would get them to hear. And that's why, you know, the book distribution is so important, because that is the, as Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta says, what he, the course says, that is the brihat madanga, or beating on the big madanga. But when they, you can hear a madanga for one or two blocks, but if you read a book or print a book, it can be heard all over the world. It's another form of hearing. And if someone becomes attached to one of Prabhupada's books, they read a few lines, they read a few words, or they hear Śrīla Prabhupāda, or those coming in his line representing Śrīla Prabhupāda, and become attached to hearing, that's the main thing. It's not that, you know, it's important that unless all the rules and regulations are followed, you have no access to that. Again, Prabhupāda gives the example that just like if you go to work in the office, you don't need to know all the rules and regulations of that office, that department, that, you know, firm. Basically, you get the employment and then you start working. Gradually, you see what they're doing, what you can do, what you can't do, like this. So, our Krishna consciousness movement, you know, follows this example of that Śrīla Prabhupāda said. So, so this hearing is very, very important, and so important that, of course, that's why we sometimes ask, you know, the children to not distract, or actually, you know, the parents, that if the children are distracting and they're not able to settle them down, then we, you know, they should really just take them out. Sometimes it's not so much. Sometimes the speakers, depending on the speakers, some the speakers don't have children, you know, in association at home. Little noises from children very distracting. If some have, you know, whole bunches of children at home, and of course it's just like, you know, they don't even hear the sound. But still, even for them, they're looking at the others and they're seeing that everyone else is disturbed. So either way. So one time, you know, one of Śrīla Prabhupāda's disciples asked him, "Were you ever chastised by Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta Saraswati?" And he said, "Yes, once." Once he was chastised because he was sitting and he was hearing, and someone was sitting next to him and sort of asked him something, tried to engage him in some discussion on something. Śrīla Prabhupāda didn't really, he just leaned over as if he might have gone to speak a few words, but that was enough, and Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta immediately chastised. Prabhupāda said he chastised both of us, but especially the other one, you know, for instigating like that. So this hearing is so important. We see also that Śrīla Bhaktivinoda Kaur, when he was, he used to give regular discourses in the Jagannath Puri temple, and one time the king of Puri came in with a whole retinue of, you know, followers and what have you. Śrīla Bhakti Vinod Thakur was actually speaking on the Śrīmad Bhagavatam, and they were making noise. And Śrīla Bhakti Vinod Thakur, he you know, spoke to the king, and he said, "In here, Jagannath is king. Outside, you're a king. So while you're in here, you'll refrain from speaking." And the king actually accepted that, and he you know, apologized, offered his respects for causing offense, like that. And So, you know, very, very important, this hearing process. And as Srila Prabhupada, you know, describes that even if one cannot understand what is being spoken, but if one goes on hearing, the message will actually act nonetheless, especially if one is trying to serve the pure devotee of the Lord at the same time, if one is hearing from the right sources. So anyway, just after this time, Srila Prabhupada then in his third meeting with Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, which was just a short time later, there he actually took initiation. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati said, "Yes, I shall initiate this boy. He is very nice. He hears me patiently. He does not go away." Yeah. Prabhupada says, "So that was my qualification. The high standard of philosophy which he was speaking at that time, practically I could not follow what he was speaking. But still I liked to hear him. That was my hobby." I was always asking, when will Guru Maharaj speak? So Prabhupada, you know, he was very, very enthusiastic. And he describes here that he was saying that, you know, if a devotee learns how to hear properly, enthusiastically, from, you know, coming in the line from Srila Prabhupada, who is obviously very, very dear to Lord Sri Krishna, he's guaranteed success. That person is guaranteed success. Even a moment's association with a pure devotee. If one hears that person and hears nicely, that person will become the future preacher. Unless one hears, one cannot preach, one cannot speak. But if one hears nicely, and even in the beginning cannot understand, eventually that person will be able to lead nice kirtan, be able to speak, you know, and help other people to become Krishna conscious, even to write transcendental literatures. All these things will come. And if a person can hear and chant, then the next thing, automatically their meditation or their remembrance, that will automatically develop. One cannot try to meditate upon the Supreme Lord without becoming perfect in hearing and chanting under the direction of a pure devotee. But by hearing and chanting, automatically the next stage, the meditation. And then, because one is always meditating upon the Supreme Lord, how wonderful is Krishna, as described there. He has innumerable qualities, and he's the embodiment of ecstatic experience. Associating with Krishna, who's the embodiment. You know, if you associate with someone who's really happy, you've seen people like that, you know, they're just always beaming smile and radiating happiness, and they're just full of joy like that. If you associate with them, even if you're depressed, you immediately become happy. Very hard to, you know, not be happy. Krishna is the embodiment of unlimited ecstasy. So you just imagine that the pure devotees are associating with him. How happy! And if you associate with Krishna's devotees, they're also the embodiment of ecstasy. You associate with Srila Prabhupada, you immediately become ecstatic. And if you don't, Srila Prabhupada would say, "Go in the closet." He would. If he saw a devotee morose, you go in the closet. Because, you know, it affects other people. But generally, you know, people become very, very ecstatic by remembering this. And therefore, if one is ecstatic because they've been hearing and chanting and they're remembering the Lord, next one will be wanting to do something, actively serve. So then padasevanam, archanam, dasyam, like this, gradually, as Prabhupada puts it here, ultimately he says, sarvatma snapanam, that you become so satisfied. Chita dapanam marjanam, and the last item is sarvatma snapanam, means you're just completely satisfied within, without, in all directions, and That is the perfection. So all of that comes just by hearing from the devotees. And therefore the Goswamis of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he ordered his principal followers, his direct disciples, the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, to print books, to write the books, to research all the scriptures, and just give the conditioned souls in Kali Yuga as much, you know, reading material about Krishna consciousness, so that within their whole lives they can never get through it. There's just so much. You know, they can just study and hear and chant in the association of devotees unlimitedly, and they will never come to the end of it. And then those literatures came down in the disciplic succession, and the acharyas like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, that was their order. In the last meeting, which when Srila Prabhupada, in his next meeting, he went to Radhakund, and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said to him, "If you ever get money, you print books." And then 2 weeks before Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur passed away, Prabhupada wrote him a letter that, you know, "You have so many nice disciples. I am, you know, just a grihastha, you know, lowly devotee. Can you give me some small service?" And he wrote back the same instruction: "You preach and distribute these transcendental literatures in the Western world." So Srila Prabhupada, he took that, and therefore, that is the most effective way that people can take up the process. If they read, you know, a few lines of Srila Prabhupada's books, even if they look at the book and think, you know, it's a nice cover, and they've touched it seriously, that's enough. If the book, even if they don't read it, it's somewhere in their house, because Krishna is empowered those books. They're like time bombs, little time bombs. And one day, all this transcendental nectar just explodes. You know, just everyone goes running for cover. But they're so powerful because Krishna is Prabhupada is so dear to Krishna that he wants him glorified. So whatever Prabhupada has written, Krishna just gives his full potency. Yes. Someone reads your works, Srila Prabhupada, you gave your whole life to print this sentence. If someone reads it, I'm going to get in their heart and I'm going to do some work and make you glorified throughout the world. So these books, they're like that. There's so many nice stories. So, therefore, on this day of Srila Prabhupada's disappearance day, we meditate upon the mission of Srila Prabhupada, and if we really want to please Srila Prabhupada, we should try and help people become Krishna conscious, and always remember that especially book distribution is in the forefront of every devotee's activities. You know, it is especially pleasing to Srila Prabhupada. Even if one is not directly distributing books, if someone just thinks favorably of the devotee who is distributing books, he also gets massive mercy from both Prabhupada and Krishna and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's just thinking, "Oh, I cannot distribute books like that, but they're so wonderful." You know, and just that appreciation, that also, so it's so potent, is this book distribution. And if one can actually render some service to the book distributors, then that is also very, very wonderful. So in this way, you know, I'm sure the Prabhupada's disappearance day, we should always meditate that let us go on in this movement, which is composed of transcendental nectar, and please Srila Prabhupada more and more by serving him in a way that is very, very pleasing. So I'm going to finish here, and now we're going to ask Prabhu to lead us through. Of course, they'll be bringing in the offering soon for Srila Prabhupada. They probably should be bringing it now. Maybe at some stage someone can go to the kitchen, just make sure that it's on time. It should, I spoke to them this morning, they said 12, so they should make sure it's on time. Prabhu's going to lead us through the Aarti, Usmanjali. Are you starting now at 12:30? Do that. So we can go a little bit longer? We can go a little bit longer here? Yeah, good. Oh, okay, I've got plenty more. They're just getting sad. I was sort of rushing, and then I just realised, yeah, we've got a little bit more time. Okay. So, anyway, while everyone's here, so at 12:30, you're going to do the, 12:30 you do the Aarti, the offering will come in now, and then at 6 o'clock this evening, Bhakta Prabhu will be doing some readings, and we'll do an Aarti puja for Srila Prabhupada in Prabhupada's room, leading up to about 7:30 p.m., which is about the time that Srila Prabhupada actually performed his disappearance pastime in November 14th, 1977 in Vrindavan. Actually, I'll read this. I was just looking at this yesterday. This is a quotation from the last concluding words that Srila Prabhupada wrote in his Chaitanya Charitamrita. So Srila Prabhupada finished the Chaitanya Charitamrita in 1974 on the Rama Akadasi, which was just a few days ago. The last Akadasi was the Rama Akadasi. So this is actually almost the anniversary of Srila Prabhupada finishing the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And I'll just read what he says here, which is also very important on this subject. He says, we have now finished this English translation, Chaitanya Charitamrita, in accordance with the authorised order of His Divine Grace, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakura, my beloved eternal spiritual master, guide and friend. He said, I still consider His Divine Grace to be always present with me by His vani, His words. There are two ways to associate. One by vani, one by vapu. Vani means words, and vapu means physical presence. The physical presence is sometimes appreciable and sometimes not, but vani continues to exist eternally. Therefore, we must take advantage of the vani, not the physical presence. He gives the example that Bhagavad Gita is the vani of Lord Krishna. So, he describes that his fateful meeting with Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati in 1922 and how he was convinced that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's message was the only panacea for suffering humanity. He says, I could not, however, take up the instructions to preach, but I took his words very seriously and was always thinking of how to execute his order, even though I was quite unfit to do so. I wrote him a letter asking what I could do to serve him. He wrote me a letter ordering me in the same way to preach in English the cult of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as I had heard it from him. So then he describes how he was induced to translate the Chaitanya Charitamrita. He's saying, I think that His Divine Grace, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, is always seeing my activities and guiding me within my heart by His words. So then Srila Prabhupada describes that this is possible through the Paramatma feature of the Lord. So in other words, you know, he quotes the Srimad Bhagavatam that you know, by the via media of the Paramatma sitting within the heart, one spiritual master can actually speak to the disciple, you know, qualified disciple, within the heart. And Prabhupada always felt that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was doing that. He says, it is to be admitted that whatever translation work I have done is through the inspiration of my spiritual master, because personally I am most insignificant and incompetent to do this materially impossible work. I do not think myself a very learned scholar, but I have full faith in the service of the spiritual master. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. If there is any credit to my activities of translating, it is all due to his divine grace. Certainly, if his divine grace were physically present at this time, it would have been a great occasion for jubilation. But even though he is not physically present, I am confident that he is very pleased by this work of translation. He was very fond of seeing many books published to spread Krishna consciousness movement. Therefore, our society, the International Society of Krishna Consciousness, has formed to execute the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his divine grace, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. On this occasion, therefore, I request my disciples, who are determined to help me in this work, to continue their cooperation fully, so that philosophers, scholars, religionists and people in general all over the world will benefit by reading our transcendental literatures. So you see here that, you know, at the end of so this is practically just within a few days, but, you know, literally the same timing, Srila Prabhupada finishing the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and there he's asking his disciples. So that, you know, there can be no, no doubt that, you know, the direct request to Srila Prabhupada's disciples and followers, anyone who wants to cooperate and help him, is to help people benefit through reading Srila Prabhupada's books. So everyone can actually take up that instruction and know that Srila Prabhupada is very, very pleased. So, again, just discussing, you know, the transcendental nature of these books, Srila Prabhupada's books. Here's a letter to Bhima Das. He says that, I have not done anything personally very wonderful. I am simply serving my spiritual master, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj, and all the acharyas in the disciplic succession. If I have done anything of credit, it is that I have not changed their teachings. And this will be the key to your success, that you also follow exactly what I have instructed in my books to my disciples. Then in the Chaitanya Charitamrita he says that it is not possible for a common man to write books on bhakti, for his writings will not be effective. Even if transcendental literature is faulty language, it is acceptable if it is written by a devotee. Whereas so-called transcendental literature written by a mundane scholar, even if it is very highly polished, literary contribution, presentation cannot be accepted. The secret in a devotee's writing is that when he writes about the pastimes of the Lord helps him. He does not write himself. Such a devotee writes in service to the Lord, and the Lord from within gives him so much intelligence that he sits down near the Lord and goes on writing books. So here, Srila Prabhupada is describing that when he's writing the books, he's feeling so much the that it is done, being done by the mercy and the, you know, potency of Krishna and the guidance, that he, you know, that Krishna is sitting down next to him. The devotee, they go and they sit next to Krishna and they write the books. Like that. That's, yeah, so Prabhupada's. That's a quotation there from the Adi Lila, chapter 8, text number 39. It's discussing how Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami confirms that whatever Vrindavan Das the core wrote was actually spoken by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he simply repeated it. And the same holds true for Chaitanya Charitamrita. Again, in a letter to Jadarani, he says, thank you for appreciating my humble efforts on behalf of my spiritual master, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj and Lord Chaitanya. Whatever I have done, it is due to their potency in Krishna consciousness. My only achievement is that I have not changed what they have taught. So this is, again, this is the responsibility. This is why you see that the followers of Srila Prabhupada become very concerned if even there's little changes in what Srila Prabhupada presented, you know, in his teachings, or, you know, the activities of devotees. They become very concerned because it is because if we do what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the Acharyas like us to do, it becomes empowered. You know, if we do what Srila Prabhupada wants us to do, there is a potency there. Even though, from a material point of view, it may not appear to be very polished. You know, sometimes people may sing kirtan, and their voices may not be so good, their music ability is not so good. But somehow or another, if they're doing it in the correct way, that's what I've been saying, that, you know, when devotees lead kirtan, they should follow Srila Prabhupada's instructions. They first chant the prayers to the spiritual master and Srila Prabhupada, especially Srila Prabhupada in his temple. But in any engagement, we always chant the prayers to Srila Prabhupada. Sometimes out of the temple, we also, you know, chant the prayers to the spiritual master, you know, coming in the line of Srila Prabhupada. Then we chant the whole Panchatattva Maha Mantra, word for word, and then we chant Hare Krishna. And if we change that, the potency goes. And that's what, you know, I was saying the other day, it's, you know, we have, you know, when I saw a few Sundays ago, we got so many guests, and, you know, we don't chant the prayers to Prabhupada, and the whole, you know, hundreds of people, we don't chant the prayers to Prabhupada, we don't chant the Panchatattva Maha Mantra, and, you know, we're singing Radhi, Radhi, Radhi for 5-10 minutes. There's no Gaurati. I'm thinking, you know, this is a complete change. This is not what Srila Prabhupada, we should not cater like a popularity contest to the general public, because the potency of the movement is immediately watered down to the degree that we change. You know? And it's amazing how things change, because then, you know, the other day I said, let's do the Gaura Aarti first. If we've got time to chant for 5-10 minutes, Radhi, 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 then why haven't we got time to do the Gaura Aarti? So I asked one devotee that you please sing the Gaura Aarti, which he did, and then the Hare Krishna, very nice. And then, of course, we had so much time for chanting Hare Krishna. But anyway, in the beginning, just to show how, you know, the standard has changed, that when we put the banners up for Damodar Ashtakam, and then I said, I'll put the Gaura Aarti banner over the top just till we sing that and then take it off. So one devotee put it up there, and then couple of young devotees immediately yelled, "Take that banner off there. They're doing it all wrong," like this. And I said, "Oh, no. We're going to sing Gurati first." He said, No. This devotee, because they've only been around for a few months, but this is what he's learned in that time. You do not sing Gurati in Gurati. This is what we're teaching. He becomes so angry with me. I said, "Please, shush." Leaving that banner, he becomes so angry. He had the gong and a stick. He held the stick up and he was contemplating. He's a big black too. He's contemplating that he was going to whack me with it. Yeah, no, seriously. And a devotee came up to him and said, "Don't. Don't think about it, you know." So, but so much the standard changed that I'm being chastised in front of the deities for suggesting we sing Gurati. But, because I think personally that, Prabhupada says Krishna is very kind, that if people don't want to, if they want to chant in, approach the Lord directly, not consider Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, not consider Prabhupada, the pure devotees, if they want to do that, Krishna will give them that opportunity. And there are temples around, you can go there, and, for people who never want to hear Prabhupada's name, you can go to their aartis, and you can worship the Shiva lingas and what have you, and you'll never hear Prabhupada's name, you'll never hear Lord Chaitanya, and you'll be in ecstasy. But here, we do think. Actually, it says in the Puranas that if you worship 10 million Shiva lingas, you worship 10 million Shiva lingas, you get the same benefit if once you worship the Shalagram Shila. So, you can go to temples and worship Shiva linga, and amongst all the demigods, somewhere around the back in a dark little corner, you'll find a murti of Krishna crying and neglected. And you can, worship like that. But here, we want to hear Prabhupada's glories without end. We want to hear Lord Chaitanya's glories without end. And we want to do the proper thing that, you worship. As Prabhupada says here, in a letter, he says that they were asking him that could they print Śrīla Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, the cause, Brahma Samhita in the Bhakti Godhead. And he said, yes, they can, but very difficult for them to understand. So just a little, a few pages. He said their minds will be, puzzled and bewildered, but, put a little page. But if they keep hearing, even though they don't understand, gradually it will come, So he said, because they asked Prabhupada, "You do a purport." He said, no. They'll keep hearing it, they'll understand. So he said, but if you put articles of the gurus, you do it in this order, that the previous acharya, you put his article first, their, the next one coming in the line, you put their article, gradually down to my articles. But he said, but if you're offering respects and obeisances to the, you do it the other way. You start with myself, Srila Prabhupada, then Bhaktisiddhanta, then Guru Kishore, like Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Krishna. So when we're, this is our general standard. Of course, there are, circumstances in preaching and what have you where it's not always possible to do it. But in general, we should offer prayers to Prabhupada, Panchatattva Maha Mantra, and Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. In general, as far as possible. Again, we had a conversation this morning how we noticed that it's some of the women perhaps weren't aware that most of them, 90%, usually sit with the back facing Prabhupada, the deity Prabhupada. So we had a discussion that, the things that we don't do, but if a new person comes in here, they will see that, oh, everyone is doing that, so I will do that. And then what will happen is that if a devotee in 2 months' time says to that person, you shouldn't sit with your back to Prabhupada, they will get angry and say, this is the standard I've always followed in this temple. So, but the difficulty is Prabhupada says, is that he puts his entire success on this one thing. That if Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati wanted it, he did it. He didn't change it, he didn't delete from it, he didn't add for it. He just did what they wanted. And therefore, he was successful. We may change things a little bit, but if that little bit means that we're no longer doing what Lord Chaitanya actually wants us to do, it's actually a bigger change than we can perceive. And when there's big when that is there, the potency to become Krishna conscious, let alone spread Krishna consciousness, is not there. Therefore, it's not that we have a society of fanatic worshippers of Srila Prabhupada, but Prabhupada wanted things to be kept the same because he knew that it worked. Prabhupada's not saying, you know, you set me up as some god guru and just worship me fanatically because, you know, I've got such an ear. No. He's saying, I know you can become Krishna conscious if you do it as I say, because that works. I've seen it work. It worked on me. It works on everyone. It is what's in the Shastra, is what Lord Chaitanya asked for, is what my Guru Maharaj asked for. So if you just do like that without changing, you'll become Krishna conscious very, very quickly, and you'll be able to make others Krishna conscious. So therefore, you know, on Srila Prabhupada's disappearance day, you know, we can pray that he gives us the intelligence to always be able to, you know, understand how he would like us to do our service. As I said, we don't become fanatical or really angry when we see that someone is not able to do that, but we gently try and encourage them that this is the standard, and we gently try and, you know, help people to hear, and if they can hear, gradually all the rules and everything else will come, so they can chant Hare Krishna, read Srila Prabhupada's books. Gradually, not that these things will all happen immediately, but the leading devotees, if devotees are wandering around, you know, with the big chatters and, you know, looking like the big devotee profile, and they're not doing things wrong, that's more serious. You can expect that many, you know, people who come to the temple, they won't know what to do. How will they know unless someone shows them and tells them gently, nicely? But if someone's, you know, wandering around in the big devotee profile and they're actually not sure what Prabhupada's standard is, that's more dangerous. And therefore, you know, it's probably more important that they should be nicely corrected as soon as possible, so that the standards always remain the same. So I'm going to finish up there. Thank you very much. And we'll leave it over to Prabhu. Yep.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai.